も消え変えて作る新ケペペを生きた歌詞残すマスターピース
Everybody picture me 溢
れてくれた君の日
Everything picture me
隣り寄せても急がない何百回だって何百万回だって気づかされても忘れない My face 存在の証明いつだって My sense I gotta make a change 歪んだ世界で足跡辿って恋にならない叫びを抑えて何百回だって何百万回だって I find it with myself Now or never Just fight it out Just fight it outJust fight it out. Just fight it out.
Hello, you're listening to the Doctor Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, which should be important to you because it's important to us that it is important to you. And then dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So how's it going, Chris?
Going all right.
Going all right?
Yeah, I did say my yo this time.
I see it on the thing right there. I don't know why I never thought of that before. Whenever you go, would I do it? But yeah, anything special this week for you?
No.
Nothing at all?
No.
Man, you're a boring person.
Yes, I'm very, very boring.
I finished Horizon Zero Dawn finally, so that was a thing. I didn't realize how close I was to the end of it. I like popped it on. I'm like, oh, here's the quest that I was on. And then it's like, okay, I guess it's going to the ending. It's done. Okay. And had like such a non-ending to it. It's like, it's one of those endings where you're like, did we really accomplish anything? I mean, I got levels up and I increased the size of my pouches, but did we really accomplish anything ending? So that was dissatisfying.
You didn't save the world.
Not really.
Did you start a new,
which I guess is why they have a sequel that's coming out.
Isn't that what you were doing, was starting a new civilization?
No, the civilization already began. I don't want to spoil things.
Oh, well, you can...
Jeez. It is technically like a post-apocalyptic robo-dinosaur tribes and stuff. You know, you kind of assume that a world has ended at some point. It's just kind of the interesting thing is learning about how, I guess, that world reset happened, which mm-hmm. is which was all right. I mean,
we know that the aliens invaded.
Maybe. Maybe, I guess.
I did not play the game.
Decadence. Decadence. We had a decadent story. Aliens took over and made humans into fighting robots. Yeah, makes humans fight robots just for their entertainment. That's what it's all about.
There you go.
Not that we know if decadence is about aliens or not yet.
I don't know nothing.
Don't really know what they're doing with that whole thing.
I'm just
We're still trying to figure out. I am not spoiling nothing
because I don't know nothing.
We're still trying to figure out if decadence will be the next Cross Age. It's nowhere near as a level of Cross Age. I can say that at this point.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like Cross Age,
weird start though.
Yeah, I mean the second episode felt very Cross Age, but it never kept to the levels of Cross Age. Like Cross Age throughout the entire thing was, I don't know if I like this or not.
Mm-hmm.
Decadence is like, it's okay. It'll be like one of those, it's okay series at the end. Whereas Cross Age, I'm still trying to figure out.
It's alright.
It's pretty good at points. It has its points.
It's alright.
I still don't like the whole robo people style of artistic choice. Especially now that we know that they technically are not in a digital world. I thought it was a digital world, but apparently it's not. So, yeah, I don't get it. But we'll see. We'll see in the end when it concludes and we give our review of it.
We're getting not very far away now. We are at reveal points for the story, so we'll see what happens from here on.
Yeah. I think we'll get three episodes of I guess, exposition dump.
Yeah, well, at least an episode.
A half an episode of a fight, probably, and 2.5 episodes of exposition dump, just so that we get caught up along with the main character. Or the heroine, I guess you'd just call her heroine.
Yeah.
She's really a main character. She's like a... It's more so focused on the guy.
Yeah, it's actually seems mostly to have his been point more of view. Focused on him.
Which is kind of surprising from the beginning of it.
It's just now it's going to be an unveiling to the main character, per se.
The quote-unquote main character. Yes. Okay, yeah. Other than that, it's been pretty much a week of trying to figure out what else I want to do. It was just a whim that I threw Horizon Zero Dawn in there and finished it, and now I'm kind of back to looking at online stores and figuring out what I want to play next. So, we'll see. I guess I can continue playing Fairy Tail, the game, because we finally watched the Tartarus arc, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, you have a few games that you wanted to play. You keep whining about not being able to play them, so I am putting my foot down. No new games until you play those games.
Which games?
I don't know. You keep complaining about not being able to play this game or that game, so I don't remember. I need to know
what that list is.
I have the memory of a slug. Don't ask me what games you said that you did not play.
Well, that's the annoying thing. It's like I do have, like... some games that like I bought and not played.
What was the Blue Steel one? Was it Trails of Blue
Steel? That's right. I can play that. That's true. I can play that. I can fire that one back up and get back on that. But it's like certain times you just feel like certain types of games, I guess, is the problem. Like, I have like Sword Art Online games that I would like to play through, but I just don't feel like playing those games.
Yeah.
Like right now I'm like kind of craving a shooter. So I think I might fire up the Xbox X1, XX, whatever the thing is, the one with the 4K Blu-ray player in it. the PS4 Pro version of Xbox, I don't even know what his name is, that I bought just for the UHD. But it came with a code for Battlefront, so I might fire that up and play that.
There you go.
Or I might download Warzone and suffer that online.
I don't know why you're going to be even trying that, but go for it.
No, what I want to buy is Doom. I'm going to play Doom. I've been wanting to play that game for a long time. That would be a good shooter. Either that or the one that was 2016. I might play the 2016 version because it'll probably be cheaper at this point.
Ugh.
I don't want to pay $60 for a shooter.
You're on your own. All I know is that new one looked insane and in no way, shape, or form. I barely can play a shooter.
Oh, I'll suck at it.
The new shooters are so twitchy, and then that was just like, no, y'all are on your
own.
That is
Twitch shooter, the video game. But no, I don't know that I don't want to dump $60, but I would definitely get it on my PC. That way I can have it like in full, like 60 frames per second glory and stuff. Plus, that'd be fun.
Here, clap for you.
What?
I'm clapping for you.
For what?
For your
desire.
Whatever
to...
gory.
Oh,
glory.
Gotcha.
You said glory. So I figured
shooter glory.
You were proud
sure.
of something.
I just play it in 60 frames per second. I don't want to play it on a console and have 23. I don't know. Whatever it runs at. It might run 60 on PS4 Pro. I don't know. But yeah, that's about it right now. Just chilling and doing stuff. So lots of stuff happened this week, though, the last 2 weeks. So we'll go through all that news and get everybody caught up, hopefully, if you're not keeping track of it. Like, we don't for 2 weeks until we do discussional.
And then we go through gobs and gobs of old articles.
Yeah, true.
Which all Crunchyroll wanted to do was talk about their expo.
There was a lot of stuff apparently announced at the expo, so a lot of Crunchyroll news in here, so be excited. Wasn't much from the Aniplex panel that I actually watched. It was like, we already know about the new Aniplex EXE visual novels that has been on Steam for the last 2 months or so. So thank you, Aniplex, for having a panel just to talk about that. But it is what it is. And apparently there's a new Sword Online season out right now that they want to announce to check out. And Misfit of Demon King Academy, apparently that's a thing that's on Crunchyroll, so check that out.
Yeah.
We haven't been watching that for forever. Thank you for keeping us updated, Aniplex. And they shut down a new game.
I wonder how many people actually wait around until a con or something like that just to get the announcement.
A lot of people. At least, like, what, 50 people that they would fit in a room?
I mean...
I don't know. To say that I was there.
I'm just saying. I mean, if you're not on Crunchyroll and then you go to the con... and learn about what Crunchyroll has at the expo.
Get yourself some sweet art from the art gallery.
No, that's cool.
Pick up some overpriced figures.
I'm not saying that.
Pick up a little bit of con plague.
I'm not saying
that. Go home. Sneeze a bunch.
I'm just saying if you already know, most of us already know about those things, why would you announce them as if they were new things? Like, okay, if I'm going to Crunchyroll Expo, I already know what's on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, that was the funny part about it is, it's like, yeah, I understand going, hey, here's a new physical release we're doing, or collector's edition, which I think we already knew about the Unlimited Blade Works one, but they announced that, so I don't remember if we had talked about that or not. But yeah, other than like physical releases and stuff like that, we already know it's streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And we know somebody's going to... And that's like the whole, oh, and by the way, in fall, we're going to have this license. It's like, I know somebody's going to get it, so I don't really care that you got it. I just know somebody's going to get it in the end, but sure. Thank you. But there was some cool stuff in there, like having, you know, they had the two sisters, Sasha and Misha. They had their seiyus in a little interview, which was cool. Kind of cute. So that kind of stuff is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like having those kind of little bit of, you know, insight into the industry. Having, I think they had the team from Shield Hero, the production team, whatever, was on a little interview, and they announced the second season that was coming in 2021. And it was cool because they kind of reaffirmed the fact that they're going to do a third season, because they said, it took us so long to get the second season that we're going to make sure that the third season comes quicker. So I was like, cool. We pretty much sticking to our plans of doing three seasons in that one. So lots of Shield Hero content coming.
I'm sure that a lot of that was because of the pandemic. So,
oh, yeah. I'm sure that was a big part of its delay. So, yeah, news. That seems important to us. That should be important to you. First on we have is Crunchyroll. Sentai Filmworks have kicked off their new home video release and electronic sell-through distribution project with new physical releases of anime titles, including Food Wars, The Fourth Plate, Ascendance of a Bookworm, World Trigger, and Granbelm. So, cool stuff there. I was talking to Chris, and I'm like, I thought that they already had this whole thing set up. So, apparently I misread at some point. I totally thought that Crunchyroll and Sentai Filmworks was already working together on this stuff. But apparently, now they're doing it, so...
What is an electronic sell-through?
Like, digital sells of series.
So it's a digital version of it? You can buy the digital version?
Yeah. Like on Steam or Amazon?
Yeah,
that kind of stuff?
I still don't get that.
Funimation,
I don't...
That? No, I don't understand it either.
I still don't get it.
Well, I mean, I bought, like, well, I actually prefer the renting. Like, we've watched, you know, the Star Wars films on Amazon through Amazon Prime, but I would always prefer to have, like, a rental button, just so I don't really need to have it digitally in my catalog on Amazon at all times. I just want to pay to watch it.
At least with Amazon, I know that that's going to be around a while. So, I mean, but Crunchyroll, I mean... Yeah, I guess I can believe that they'll be around a while, but
yeah, you're on. We remember the last discussion of podcast where Chris was on the Crunchyroll's gonna die. So we're going back on thing.
I don't know that I'm gonna say Crunchyroll's gonna die. I just said that there's things happening in the background that we don't know about.
And well, there's always things in the background of all companies. Amazon could be dying tomorrow. We never know about it. Like suddenly out of nowhere, we find out that Amazon is extremely unprofitable and they've been laundering money for years, and so they went bankrupt. Yeah, it could happen. And now they're selling all 50 million of their gigantic warehouses to anybody who will buy it. And we're going to buy one of them and set up a studio in it. It'll be the Taku Spirit Studio.
But no, if you were asking me which company I thought was going down, it's probably Sony.
No.
Yeah.
They make way too much money on TVs.
Sony's in dire straits now.
Oh, yeah. AT&T's in billions and billions of dollars of debt right now. And you're talking about Sony, which makes billions and billions on televisions, is going to go under.
I think that they're in a more dangerous position than AT&T, yes.
No. No way.
Come back to me next year and we'll find out if my truth is true.
Well, yeah, you say enough things are a failure, then eventually you're going to be right. I'll see I was right because I said this at this point.
Well, no, in 1 year, I will fully say that I was wrong if Sony does not go down.
If nothing comes to light that is in effect after this point and they go under, I will still say that you are wrong. But if something were to come to light that was in effect before now and then they went under next year, then I'll say you're right.
That doesn't make any sense.
If in 3 months suddenly out of nowhere one of their plants in China explodes and they suddenly go bankrupt, that would mean that it does nothing to do with what you're saying right now.
Okay,
But if in a year we find out that 2 years ago they had a huge debt with something that made them go under, then you're right. But nothing in the current cards says that they're failing.
They're
profitable.
That is outside of the scope of what we are discussing on this show.
But yeah, I think the one main thing on this one that I'm super excited about is obviously World Trigger, because I know it's a surprise to people, but I was a huge fan of World Trigger. I'm joking. It's in a bookworm.
I was going to say, that's news to me.
It's Bookworm. I'm happy that Bookworm is getting a physical release, and I think that was, especially when we got done with the first season, I don't think it was really dawning on me then, but I know that when we got in the second season, I was like, this is never going to get a physical release, is it? It's like Showa Genroku. Crunchyroll, if you're listening to this, Miles, somebody up there that's listening to this, I think Miles has listened to our podcast before. You're doing this whole project. Get Showa Genroku on there. Like, that is the biggest title you guys have in your catalog right now that has no physical distribution, and it needs to have a physical distribution. I'm going to tweet later, and you better reply that it's happening. Because I don't know why you're doing World Trigger and not Showa Genroku Roku Shinshu. There's a fan base for everything, and I'm sure they're looking at statistics, and I'm sure Granbelm and World Trigger, obviously World Trigger because it's a shonen, and I'm sure it did huge numbers. I know there's a lot of fans that did not like our dropping of it, so I'm happy for those fans, but Showa Genroku Roku Shinshu, come on.
Well, World Trigger is one of those that we've always said that we were going to go back to at some point.
No, I didn't. No, I think when they were like in the 50th season, I think I was talking about maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I know we discussed it.
But there's so many other shonen that I'd rather watch.
Yeah, there's other shonens that we would want to watch first. I think that was the caveat that we gave it.
I don't know. Would I watch One Piece or World Trigger?
World Trigger in a heartbeat.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Just because of the vast size of One Piece,
obviously, but...
But I would definitely hit Hunter x Hunter long before then. I mean, I still want to finish off Bleach. So, yeah, there's plenty of shows way before I ever got to World Trigger.
Yeah, Bleach does technically need to be... Either Bleach or Inuyasha needs to be next, because those are...
Inuyasha's
seasons coming up.
A shoujo.
It's a shonen. It's a shonen mask as a shoujo. It's an epic, is what we're talking about. Epics. Long series is really what it is. Because World Trigger can be a shoujo.
Is it?
No.
I was going to say.
It's the three mouth thing. So yeah, it's good on them though. I like to see more physical releases of stuff. That's always it's always good news for the podcast. So next bit we have is a new teaser trailer has been released for Farewell My Dear Crammer, or Sayonara Watashi no Crammer. This is an adaptation of the manga by Naoshi Arakawa, who of course was the creator of Your Lie in April. The adaptation will both be in film and television adaptation and debuting in April 2021. I think the creator has something about April. The studio that we'll be working on is Leiden Films, and a visual has been released for it already, which has two pictures in it of two different timelines, one being the second year of middle school and one of the first year of high school for the characters. The synopsis is, with no soccer accomplishments to speak of during the entirety of Sumire Suo's junior high school years, the young wing gets an odd offer. Suo's main rival, Midori Soshizaki, invites her to join up on the same team in high school with a promise that she'll never let Suo play alone. It's an earnest offer, but the question is whether Suo will take her up on it. She obviously will. Thus, the curtain opens up the story that collects an enormous cast of individual soccer-playing personalities. Yes, more...
And one of them is going to die?
More big lips. I don't think I'll ever like that art style.
That one
it looks
wasn't
so weird.
Some of the lips look good, but one of them absolutely not. I think it was just an angle thing. It just did not look good.
I haven't really figured out why it bothers me. I think it bothers me because it's kind of like one of those things where they create more detail to a character design by adding the lips when nothing else is getting added detail to it. I think that's what it is. Like, technically, anime art style, I mean, unless you go back, you know, there are certain creators that will create that more detailed look. There was a lot of it in, like, the 80s and stuff like that. But the current, I guess, popular style of anime doesn't really try to go for detail. They're very simple character designs, a lot of simple lines. And to add, like, this other level of, like, flesh tone to the character's face and nothing else. Everything else just stays the simple line style, just stands out like a sore thumb to me. So,
see, and like,
that's what bothers me.
In this scene, it looked all right.
Because you can't see them, it's too far away.
Well,
they literally can't even see them, they're too far away.
There it is. See, that to me looks good.
Yeah.
But that other scene, it looks
like, well, yeah,
blocky.
I mean, with that picture you're showing, essentially it's where you're only getting like two very small lines to indicate the upper and lower lip, whereas the other one, it is a full outline of the upper lip and a full outline of the lower lip, which is, yeah, what makes it stand out is really weird. So,
yeah, see, where in like the other shows where I've pointed it out, they're usually more closer to that other clip, what we were talking about.
Yeah, I like that tone to it when it's close up and stuff. It's just when you have that hard line outlining, yeah, the entire lip, it looks like a kappa or something. That's what it reminds me of, is a kappa.
Yeah, kappa.
Are you looking forward to more tears? I'm sure that the writer is,
like I said, somebody's probably gonna die.
Is that spoiling something for something else?
I don't know.
Is there another show for this person that makes sense for death to happen?
No, I wouldn't say anything like that.
Yeah, he's a tragic writer, that's for sure. So we'll see if this one turns into another tragic story. Let's see, the All Out creator, for fans of All Out, the mangaka for the series, Shiori Amase, is planning to launch a new manga called Matsu Kage ni Iko, or Under the Shade of Pines. Under the Shade of the Pines. This manga will center around a teacher that appears in dreams and the souls of the students of a private school. That seems very, very different storytelling than All Out was, but we'll see. I do like when creators kind of jump the shark, so to speak, and try out other things. Don't get molded into sports if you can for this particular mangaka. So, see, Yen Press has licensed the following Date A Live novels. Do You Like Your Nerdy Nurse manga, Love and Heart manga, Days on Fess manga, I Can't Reach You manga, The Girl Without a Face manga, Play It Cool Guys manga, Penguin Gentleman manga, and Virgin Row novel, as well as Id Invaded, I guess hashtag, I might be sharp, I don't know, Break Broken manga. So, cool stuff. I guess the Id Invaded is going to be a manga adaptation of the series, so.
Yeah, the Day-Day Live, naturally, I can't wait for that. The Nerdy Nurse sounds interesting. The Girl Without a Face was like, really?
Yeah, the girl with her boyfriend thinks she's the cutest girl around, but her expressions can be a bit hard to read. The girl
that's understatement.
The Girl Without a Face is a cute yet eccentric manga about a boy and his faceless girlfriend, with horror elements such as the presence of yokai and the slice of life story. The Girl Without a Face appeals to fans of both categories of manga. I've heard of faceless yokai, so I don't know if they're going for the thing that she's a yokai.
I'm guessing. I mean, with the mention of yokai, that's...
Yeah. But I thought they had Date A Live already. That's what's weird.
No, not on Yen Press.
Was it digital on somewhere else?
Don't know.
I thought somebody had it.
Maybe J-Novel.
So maybe it was only a digital release of it. So,
but I don't think I've seen it on J-Novel. I don't think I've seen it anywhere. I just know that the anime's out.
Well, yes, Chris. It's an astute observation. It's almost like we did a full podcast on it or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I could have swore somebody had it already. Maybe it was the new Bullet one somebody was doing. Which makes sense because it's the new Bullet one's coming up here soon, so. Or adaptation of it anyways. But cool on Impress for getting Data Live. That's cool stuff. Moving on, we have Seven Seas has some licenses, including Wonder Cat Q-chan manga, Magical Angel Creamy Mami manga, The Tale of the Outcast School Zone manga, Sadako-san and Sadako-chan manga, which is absolutely weird. It's like, I mean, for those that don't know, Sadako, like the ring, the crazy chick with the hair in front of her face thing. And apparently she has a loli friend or something. It says, one day, as Sadako goes to claim her next victim, she meets another girl named Sadako. Sadako-chan is a precocious young girl, or young child, who's eager to help Sadako-san adjust to the modern era. No more climbing out of TVs. It's all about YouTube. I can just see that, like... She's like, nobody has televisions anymore. Where do I come out? She's like, oh, you just got to use YouTube now. She starts coming out of YouTube streams.
There you go.
With the help of her new friend, can Sadako finally move on from her tragic past? The adorable spinoff to the genre-defining Ringu franchise is terrifyingly funny. I really want to read that now.
You think?
That's fantastic.
I actually want to see this in an anime.
Yeah, there you go. We need an anime adaptation of it. Hopefully won't take long. They've been really good about getting a lot of these titles that are getting adaptations, so...
this is true.
They have some kind of insight into this stuff, so... Never know. Maybe it has one coming. Other ones they have for Seven Seas is Bite Maker Manga, Drugstore in Another World, The Slow Life of a Cheat Pharmacist, which totally had me thinking, like, that's right, if I did get Isekai to Another World, I think I would want to become a pharmacist, just to, like, make, you know, snake oils and stuff. But then I'll probably get, you know, charged as a witch or something and then killed. It never ends well.
No, I think that this is a brilliant... I mean, if you go into another world and you learn alchemy and you can just make bank helping the heroes become more heroic and...
There you go.
There you go.
I think that's what they're going with in that story, because he has a cute, like, cat girl with him. Corporate drone Reggie is transported to a fantasy world where he discovers that he can craft potions at a high level. Well, that's nothing to do with becoming a pharmacist. You became an alchemist. Anyways, a higher level than his rank should allow. Taking advantage of this, Reggie makes a tidy profit enough to open his own drugstore. An elf who can who can't aim his bow give him... Oh, it's a question. An elf who can't aim his bow... Give him eye drops. A dragon who accidentally breathes fire, cough syrup. Reggie's new relaxing life is of making medicine for fantasy creatures is about to begin. Nothing about helping heroes, just helping other beings, I guess. It's a little disappointing. Anyways, other ones, Superhuman and Love manga, Shut In Elf manga, and I have a secret Kakushigoto light novel. So... Not to be confused with the Kakushigoto series. There you go.
Are you sure?
That I have a secret Kakushigoto light novel?
Yeah.
The picture was not of that manga series, so it's definitely not it. Actually, looks like the art style of Tsukiga Kidai, actually. I wonder if it's the same artist. So, yeah. Manga Plus has added Hokkaido Gals Are Super Adorable manga, as well as Excuse Me, Dentist, It's Touching Me. Which is an interesting title as well. I totally thought she was naked in the picture. Apparently she's not. It's a very skin tone outfit she's wearing. But I'm sure it probably is going in that direction. Who knows? A human drama between a villainy-faced Yakuza and a dominant dentist. Give it a read. Maybe your wall will be broken down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, we have the manga Dead Company has announced that it was is arriving just before its climax with its 18th chapter. So fans of Dead Company look forward to it reaching its climax soon. Then we have Retro Crush has added new titles to its catalog, which of course is a streaming service that is completely free. That you can get it on, you know, different devices, including Apple TV, which I have it on mine. Haruka Nogizaki's Secret, which is released on September 4th. Haruka Nogizaki, oh my gosh, Nogizaka Secret Pureza, which is also on the 4th. Metal Skin Panic Madox 01 on September 11th, as well as Kite International Version on the 11th. Kobato on September 18th, and Lupin the Third Part 2 on September 25th. So check those out on Retro Crush. Like I said, if you're a huge fan of the old anime, definitely support it, because we've seen a lot of these services that are doing retro anime and they go under really quickly because people aren't supporting them. So support them if you want to keep that stuff going. The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya is finally continuing after a 9.5 year wait. Apparently, they are now releasing a new volume called The Intuition of Haruhi Suzumiya. The Intuition of Haruhi Suzumiya collects three stories, including an all-new story. And Yen Press has already announced that they are going to be doing a simultaneous release outside of Japan, which is going to happen on November 25th. So when it releases in Japan, apparently they're going to have it available digitally. So if you have Yen Press, check that out. They also release it physically on a later date. And they also announced that they have plans to re-release the previous volumes of the novels under its Yen-On imprint. So, cool news for fans of Haruhi Suzumiya, because I know that's been a long time coming. 9 years is a pretty crazy wait. Kind of happy that I've been procrastinating to get back in the series, because it's been so long for them to get any more of it. So, cool stuff there. I'm sure Kyoto Animation won't... I don't think you'll have to pull their leg too much before they'll want to go out and adapt that. So
it's one of those things that put me and Ira were talking about this, and we got into this random off tangent of George R. R. Martin and how long it's waited for. We've been waiting for the next book in that series, and whether or not these stories are going to ever be finished before the artists ever, you know, keep going.
Forbid pass away or something. Yeah. So yeah, good news for Haruhi fans. Like I said, I think I got to the whole, was it Crazy Eights or whatever moment of the series and kind of dropped off it. But I already have it physically, and I do want to get back to watching it. And then hopefully if it actually catches my interest this time, I'll actually want to go and read the novels. And I'm glad they're doing another, I don't know if that means they're doing another print of it. I don't know if Yen-On is there. Physical printing. I guess it says imprint, so it's going to actually do a physical release of it, but yeah. I pick it up. Yeah, cool news. Aniplex Americas has announced that Arisuki, Are You the Only One Who Loves Me? OVA is now begun streaming on all major platforms, including Crunchyroll, HiDive, and Funimation. So if you're like me and a sucker for punishment and was a little angry that they did not have that OVA back when the series concluded, to conclude the series... You can now watch that last episode. I checked it out. I think it's like a full, like, hour-long episode, so put some time aside for it, because it's going to take a while. I watched, like, the first minute of it, and I reminded myself how much I hate the main character, and then I turned it off. So hopefully some of these days I'll get up the gusto to finish that stupid series. Oh. Sorry for fans of it. Bell Media has revealed that Crave streaming service in Canada is planning on adding 5 seasons of Sailor Moon anime to its catalog on September 18th. So cool stuff there. Always happy to see when series get licensed elsewhere. So for Canadian listeners, you can check out Sailor Moon on their services here soon. So
cool. It'd be stuff. Fun to go through that entire series.
Sure. Get on it. I'm fine with the Crystal series. I don't need to watch that whole thing. Well, that's like the original Dragon Ball and stuff like that. It's like, oh man, I would love to have the time to sit there and watch that whole thing. No, I don't. I don't have the time.
I keep getting into the serpent way and I end up falling away. I really, really, because it's between the serpent section and somewhere just after Vegeta comes back to Earth or something like that. That's about where I... No, it's the Android arc. Anyway, the Android arc is about where... Because I've got chunks of the Namek arc that I've watched, but not...
You just admit it's the Saiyaman thing. That's like the worst part of the entire series is the Saiyaman stuff.
That's in Cell's arc. That's no, way in Cell's Cell. Arc. No, that's in Cell's arc.
No, that's pre-Cell. It's the worst part of the entire show is him being Superman.
That doesn't make any sense.
Superhero man. And Hercule.
Because that's when he was full grown.
Right.
He was full grown after Cell.
Yeah, I guess he would be, huh? Right? Because, yeah, he's... No? I don't know. I don't know anymore.
So it was in Boo's arc. Saiyaman was in Boo's arc. It's got to be. Because Hercule was the one that got Boo to chill out. Okay, I'm spoiling things, I think.
The one thing that would upset people that we've never spoiled anything else, but now we spoil Dragon Ball Z and suddenly the end of us cancel them, they spoil things. Oh. Anyways, some really cool news is they have dubcast announcements for new titles, so all of our dub listeners, Super HX Arrows will be getting a dub. Night is Short, Walk on Girl is planning on getting a dub as well, which will stream on Crunchyroll in early 2021.
Dear heavens, we're announcing a dub that early. That's, wow. Okay, we'll go with that. Wait.
What are you talking about?
I guess it's not, it's only two seasons away, huh?
What are we talking about?
Night is
Short. That's a movie from like 2 years ago.
Okay.
Crunchyroll is going to be streaming the dub of Misfit Demon of Demon King Academy on September 5th, which is literally today as we're recording this, so enjoy that on Crunchyroll now. And also Decadence is getting a dub, so you can all enjoy the what the hell's going on that we did in dub. So, cool stuff. Alright, let's see. I think I just closed something I was doing. The official website for the Demon Girl Next Door manga has announced that they have confirmed a second season for the series. So I was super happy when I heard that at some point a while ago, which was... it's a really good series. And I think we talked about this in the review, but it was oddly one of those series where... kind of enjoyed it because it's kind of got that cute, here's this demon girl and she's been going through like poverty and stuff because like the magical girls like defeated the demons and put a curse on them for money, so like everything that they do, like any payments they receive and stuff, get like taxed because they got beat and sealed away. But yeah, in order to fight to get them out of poverty, she has to defeat the magical girl of the area, which ends up being, like, the most sweetest girl ever. And so it's kind of like her trying really hard to beat this magical girl that's really overpowered, but really, really nice. But it was one of those series that, like, towards the later part of it, it actually... the story got really kind of cool, and they could do some really cool stuff with the story. Like, really cool things with the story. Not just being a comedy, there was some kind of values and layers to the actual story that they could get into, so... hearing they have a second season does give me kind of hope that we can kind of explore those things, but also add new characters and have fun, because it looks like there's a new character in the art for it. So I'm guessing she's another magical girl from another area, probably.
Wasn't she the magical girl that had misfortune on her?
That's right. Is it?
There was a magical girl that they
added. I know who you're talking about, because she was in the costume and she was trying to make money, and she showed up and she was all terrified of her because she thought that the magical girl was going to kill her or something like that. It could be her.
There was something about the magical girl that was off.
Why did it autocomplete the Demon Girl Next Door meme? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The one thing Andrew loves doing is looking up memes. The thing he hates the most about the internet. Let's see. I know I'm aging myself by saying that I hate memes, but there you go. Is it her? Yeah, I guess it's her, because she has a little bun on her core. So yeah, I guess it's the other. So there's no new characters in this, the key art, but we'll see. We'll see. It's kind of slightly different art style. That's probably why. I'm trying to save myself.
Yeah, that's probably artwork for the manga, which
yeah,
they don't always go the same.
Some updates for the October schedule, which is technically fall. We have some updated shows that have gotten release dates, which we'll get into more detail next week, because next week will be our preview for the fall season. It's already coming. But we had announcements for One Room, which will release on October 5th. Maisetsu, which is that one that's by the creator of Lucky Star, which will be October 4th. Wandering Witch, October 2nd. Sleepy Princess, which I don't know why I did not put the date here, which is the whole point of this entire segment, October 5th. And By the Gods, Grace of Gods, which will be October 4th. So, like I said, next week we'll get into more detail of all that stuff and kind of give you a full idea of what's coming and what to expect with each show. Crunchyroll news again. They are set to stream To Your Eternity anime adaptation, which is slated to be 20 episodes, which is kind of surprising. Like I kind of mentioned in the first talks about that getting an adaptation, it's one of those series that has several arcs to it, and I was not really sure how much of it it'll actually get into. I guess that gives me hope, because I'm not really... I'm pretty sure all that I've watched so far, or all that I've read of To Your Eternity, would probably fit within 12, maybe 15 episodes. So, and that doesn't really feel... I've never had a point in that entire series I would feel like it has a completion point. So hopefully something after that point will have a good ending point. Or maybe it's the full adaptation. I think it's still being done. So we'll see. I don't... I've already mentioned before that I'm not... It's got its points in the story. Like, there's several points in the story that I really do find very powerful. It is definitely a huge change from the writer, because for those who don't know, it's written by Yoshitoki Oima, who did A Silent Voice. And this is a very kind of supernaturally type story, which is very... an odd change from, you know, a very human and very personal story about, you know, a boy and his redemption for bullying a deaf girl. To something that's more kind of supernatural and very kind of... It's still got a very human element to it, because it's essentially something that is not normal being around very normal people and what it learns from them. And so it does have the writer's kind of very strong way of portraying characters and personalities and people. But...
It was a story that it's really, really, really wanted to do, and I don't remember if I just got sidetracked or what. I've always wanted to go back to it.
Like I said, it's kind of a series of events of him kind of going to different places. Very kind of Kino's Journey-esque. I'm not saying Kino's Journey like he's traveling the world on a bike and seeing different locations, but more of a thing of this thing running into multiple different groups of people and running into different human situations. But it gets to some point where they go to like some island for prisoners, and it kind of lost me there. And so, like I said, that's probably like that is probably going to be that more going into the second core, which I'll run into that. But I'm hoping that it kind of turns itself around and goes into something more interesting. So I do see several things from the second and third arc in the trailer for it already. So I know it goes at least that far. I don't know. Like I said, I'm very mixed on the series, and I'm hoping the adaptation does a wonderful job of adapting it. Hopefully, maybe even making it better. We'll see. But yeah, be excited for that. The animation is being done by Brainspace. It's premiering October as well, so here next month or so, we'll be able to see if it does a good job of it. Kenjiro Suda, of course, has been listed as the voice of the Beholder, which is kind of cool. So we have our usual beloved Kenjiro doing voicing in there, which I'm guessing is mainly going to be probably the narrator. You can already hear him in the trailer if you listen to the trailer. So, cool stuff. kind of already mentioned this one, but yeah, during the Crunchyroll Virtual Expo, the staff of the Rising of the Shield here announced that the second season will be premiering in 2021 and that they are still working on a third season as well, or still planning on a third season as well. So, like I said, I already kind of went through that. Anime Yellow Manga's fifth and final volume is set to ship on September 25th, so apparently that is coming to a conclusion. As well as Harukana Receive manga is planning to end in its September 24th issue of Manga Time Kirara Forward. So, two manga series coming to a conclusion in late September. Crunchyroll and Adult Swim has announced that they are collaborating on an anime adaptation of Shinmu Game series. It's slated for 13 episodes and will air on both Adult Swim and stream on Crunchyroll. So, that's a pretty cool one because I've heard a lot of really good things about the Shinmu series, yeah, story-wise.
I've heard a lot that was the biggest thing about that was its story. So, yeah, I was actually going to say I'm actually very interested in this one.
I'm very curious about, because I've heard people talk about, you know, Shinmu. They had the recent Shinmu that came out, and it kind of answered some questions, but like opened up a lot of new questions. And I'm curious if it's going to be kind of just an adaptation of the old ones and maybe just get into the new one and drop off like the new game did, or if they're actually planning on telling more story beyond that. But like I said, I've heard a lot of people talk very highly about the story and to have it, and because I've never really wanted to play it. I have very little desire to play it, but to know that it's got an adaptation coming is very, very exciting because I'd like to kind of, I guess, get the Reader Digest version of the game rather than actually play it. Not really a huge fan of the director that's working on it. I guess it's not really his fault that One Punch Man Season 2 had the problems with animation that it did, but he did Majimoji Rurimo, so that's one. I kind of enjoyed Lost Song. Telecom Animation Films doing animation on it. We'll see. Cool stuff, though.
Curious about the Blade Runner thing that they're doing, too.
Yeah. Well, they already did a Blade Runner.
I don't know. It said something about a Blade Runner or Black Lotus down there.
Yeah, that already came out.
So. That was saying that they already did it. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Credited. Sunrise and Bandai Namco, or Bandai Spirits, revealed that Gundam Build Divers Battlelog will debut in November. The anime will showcase Gunpla battles voted by fans, which Sunrise held polling for in April. So, really enjoyed the Battlelog ones they did for Gundam Build Fighters. So, to have one for Divers will be fun. We'll see what that one turns out to be. They always end up being really fun little shorts. So, cool stuff. Right Stuff announced that its Blu-ray Collector's Edition, or Collector's Ultra Edition, sorry. It's a Collector's Ultra Edition. Blu-ray for The Irresponsible Captain Taylor. It's, of course, a personal favorite of Sean Kleckner's is The Irresponsible Captain Taylor. So I'm sure he probably put his hand in the mix to get that happen. So good on him for that. It's planned to release on April 1st of 2021. It's going to include the full TV series and the OVA on Blu-ray, plus 5 hours of extras, and include a 10x8 art book with art, original stories, interviews, and more. So, cool stuff there. I'm excited for fans of Captain Taylor. I sadly have not touched that one yet, so maybe this will be the time that I'll finally go out and check out Captain Taylor, just for Sean Kleckner's sake, just so I can... I probably get plenty of bad words from him just for not having watched that. So, kind of an interesting thing to add along with that announcement is they also announced that they have plans to release the Interspecies Reviewers on Blu-ray in 2021 as well under its Critical Mass label. So for all those that were upset that Funimation kind of dropped the ball on that series, this is your way of supporting it. So it looks like Right Stuff has picked up the ball that Funimation dropped. And so if you guys really are upset about that, support Right Stuff by paying into this one is all I can really say.
The sad thing is, I'd almost say you really, if you are against censorship, you almost have to.
That's my thought process. Like, what kind of a message would you send if Right Stuff like turns around to Funimation and says, "Dude, we so like a lot of copies of that sucker. We made a lot of money selling that thing versus them turning and saying, yeah, I didn't really sell but like 10 copies. And Funimation's like, well, yeah, that's why we dropped it. You know, it is really one of those cases where, yeah, technically it is another one of those things where unless there's some kind of writing in the contract for it, it's not like the studio gets a whole bunch of money out of them selling a lot of Blu-rays, but it shows that something like this is something that, you know, people were upset about not having available to them by actually having it sell a bunch to the actual person that actually picks it up and says, look, we're doing it. We'll do it for them. So
it is, and it's frustrating that we have to, I mean, it had caught my attention yet. I don't think that we got far enough into the show to actually decide whether or not we even liked it. So, but at the same time, it's frustrating that we have to literally go out and buy a show just to say, two fingers up towards the other person who did what we didn't want, you know, and it's really frustrating.
What if I only have one hand?
If you only have one hand, then do two fingers on one hand.
Anyways, the peace sign.
Peace.
Peace. We. There you go. We.
And you do what you want to do. If you think that Funimation did the right thing, then that's fine. But I suspect there's a lot more people who are more irritated at Funimation.
Yeah. There you go. Interesting stuff there. That was kind of a... I was telling Chris when I seen the article for this one, I seen the whole thing with Captain Tyler, and I was like, oh, cool, they're doing a cool release of that one. And then it didn't even dawn on me until I scrolled down and seen the key art for Interspecies Reviewers. And I'm like, that looks familiar. And I scroll back up. I'm like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize the rest of that article where it says that it technically got Interspecies Reviewers, too. That was completely out of left field.
And another side note, this is also a way to show Sean Kleckner that if he will be rewarded for doing things that are a little bit outside of the comfort zone, if you want to take it that way. So take that into consideration as well.
Support Sean Kleckner. Yeah. That's all we're saying. Support support Sean Kleckner. Even though he got rid of the penguin mascot that I really adored, and I miss him dancing in the penguin costume.
Hey, I like Ritsu.
Yeah, but I miss the penguin, and I miss seeing Sean Kleckner dancing in a penguin costume every Christmas. Like, do you not miss the Sean Kleckner dancing in the penguin that costume?
No, I like Ritsu.
Yeah.
I think Ritsu is adorable.
Yeah.
You suck.
I miss the penguin. Why not both?
Could you have both?
Why not both? Like the cute girl in the commercial, why not both? See, that girl knew. She knew one day this would be a thing. And that she'd be mean for forever. Every time something's brought up about two different things, her gif will be in every single Twitter thread. Moving on. Crunchyroll has announced that it will be streaming Dr. Stone's second season in January 2021. They also announced that Funimation will be dubbing the series as well to release in January, so which is not a huge surprise. Dr. Stone is pretty hugely popular little shonen series, so it's kind of a given that it will have a full dub release as well. But yeah, cool there. Cool. P-Cube and Kadokawa Games announced that they will be launching Root Film on Switch and PS4 in the West during the first quarter of 2021. It was also announced that it will launch with a 100-page art book, so if you're looking forward to Root Film, check that one out.
I'm assuming, is this a visual novel or what?
Yeah, I think so.
Root Film. Mystery adventure game.
Yeah. It's a sequel to Root Letter, a mystery adventure game, and it features a new murder mystery story by Hifumi Kuno. Similar to the first game, Root Film takes place in the Shimane Prefecture.
All right.
Crunchyroll also announced that they will be streaming Kira Kira Precure a la Mode in North America, Latin America, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. So cool stuff there to have that expansion of licenses there. Fans of Moero Crystal, H Game, East Asia Soft streamed a trailer for this series, which revealed that they will be releasing it in North America and Europe on September 17th. So, which is cool for accessibility. Technically, this series, if you buy it in the Japanese version, already technically has English. But if you want a actual physical release in your area, definitely check that one out. Apparently, the addition to a standard digital and physical release, the game will be getting a physical edition. The limited edition will include the game full color physical manual, which is so funny to have actually be a feature. Original soundtrack CD, art book, sticker set, individually numbered collector's certificate, and a collector's box, which is not really much, but there you go. Cool stuff. Etchy dungeon crawling. This is an interesting one. Shout Factory Anime Limited announced the acquisition of the North American licenses for Bartender. This is apparently based on Araki Jo's manga. Distribution is planned digitally across major platforms, as well as the 15th anniversary collector's edition Blu-ray release in 2021. I don't think I've ever heard of the series before.
No, I automatically assumed it was... There's another one that's about... it's like Teardrops of God or something like that. And it's almost a very similar premise, where it's just a bartender that mixes drinks, and it's almost like a food porn for mixed drinks, is basically what it is. And this almost sounded exactly like that, but I guess it's not.
Genius bartender Ryu Sasakura makes the most incredible cocktails anyone has ever tasted. Seeking his glass of God, individuals from all different walks of life visit his bar. With both a compassionate ear and a godly drink, Ryu helps people with their problems. And it's a 11-episode series, full-length episode, so...
Drops of God is the manga.
I don't know. Not a huge fan of alcoholic beverages, so I'm somewhat interested, though. Something like that for them to go other ways to pick up and, I guess, rescue license it. It seems to have some kind of calling for it, so. Like I said, it was more interesting the fact that it was, I've never heard of it before, and there's rarely shows that I've never heard of before. But technically, it was back in 2006, which is about a time frame that I wasn't keeping a track of everything that came out. So, there's that. I'm going to skip that one for now. Crunchyroll has announced new membership tiers with offline viewing and multiple concurrent streams, which is kind of a big red flag for me. yeah, they announced they're going to be new tier memberships for streaming services. The free tier, which will include, require no payments, of course, and it will have advertisements. The only restriction on the actual subs themselves is that anything that is new streaming will take a week before they'll become available for free tier users. The following three tiers are options for premium members. The fan tier, which costs $7.99, which is pretty much the similar... similar to the current premium membership, this tier has no advertisements, and all new simulcast episodes will be available to the users as they premiere. The mega fan tier, which costs $9.99 a month, includes all features from the fan tier. But in addition, this tier enables offline viewing and access to four streams at once. In the United States, members will also be able to get a $15 discount off of $100 purchases on their Crunchyroll store. For the United States subscribers, they have an ultimate fan tier, which costs $14.99 a month. This will include everything from the fan tier. It will also feature offline viewing and access to six streams at once. Members can get a $25 off of all $100 purchases every 3 months in the Crunchyroll store. That's kind of a sweet discount, but it kind of sucks that it's once every 3 months. It makes sense, I guess. You don't want to have it, you know, never-ending discount or once a month. I guess it costs them more money than anything.
I don't know. I agree with you. It seems like they're acting kind of desperate, and that really does suck.
I'm going to get to that, my views on this, in a minute. But additionally, for the Ultimate fans, members will also receive an annual Ultimate Fan Member swag bag and access to exclusive member-only merchandise. So, yeah. Apparently, membership tiers for UK and English-speaking international territories are similar, but the price converges to local currencies in these regions. The Mega Fan does not include the discount on the store. Also, instead of Ultimate Fan tier, there is an annual Mega Fan option for members who sign up for a full year of Mega Fan tier. This tier includes a 16% discount on Crunchyroll Premium. So, I'm curious which one gets access to the manga stuff. I'm assuming it's just all of them get access to the manga now. Because I knew you had to get like a
tier. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought they were going to just add in the other stuff, but this doesn't seem like
they're not really doing much with the manga stuff, so it's not like it should be any extra. No, I know that my immediate thing that comes to mind with this whole situation is not so much that it's a desperate thing. I do think they're trying to diversify their tiers to allow for them to make additional money, which is not something that's too surprising. I mean, they have access to multiple options within their company. Like, they have multiple things that they can pull from to make a better tier system, whereas most companies that just have strictly, you know, just streaming options, there's nothing you can really diversify your tiering. It's you literally just have access to the stuff. Yeah, technically Netflix does a whole thing where if you pay more, you get like access to 4K and stuff like that, but it's not really an option for anime streaming because there's nothing that's really 4K. But no, I think the only thing that I can really say that this is a bummer for, and what I think it is kind of trying to jump on, is the aspect of locking down on the simultaneous streamings. Because it's always been a thing with, I think Funimation jumped on it pretty quickly to lock down their services, say, no, look, you can only stream to so many devices depending on which tier you choose. Crunchyroll never had a limit. And you can essentially just chuck people your account, which I don't really suggest unless you know them. So, like, for us, it was like, okay, let's just put on all our devices, you know, Chris's devices, my devices. I'll even maybe chuck it over to our other brother and say, hey, look, you can jump on Crunchyroll if you want to watch Sword Art Online or something like that, which he's not a huge fan of the subtitle stuff. So it does kind of lock that down, which does kind of suck. But I guess it doesn't really affect us too much. I guess it would, because they don't really specify how many people can use the $7.99 plan. They just say, Mega Fan, you get 4. So, right? Yeah, 4 is for Mega Fan. So it does kind of suck for us if we ever have... We rarely ever do that anymore, where we're both watching something at the same time, but we might run into that issue going forward. We were kind of joking about the fact that I keep getting logged out on Crunchyroll, and I'm wondering if that's what's happening, is maybe I'm accessing it on my iPad, then it's making my Apple TV force me to re-log in, which, if that's the case, that's going to really annoy the fire out of me, because I do that every now and then. I have to log in every 2 minutes, so not every 2 minutes, but logging in at all again is really annoying. Because I have to bring out my phone,
dang it,
click
Roberts
on the login, then type on the screen. Yeah, we're going back the whole thing. I think Roberts is already involved. Confirmed, Sony has bought Crunchyroll. Because Roberts is messing up the apps and stuff. So yeah, that's very interesting. So not sure if people are happy about that or angry about that. Like I said, I don't think really anything changes too much unless you do a lot of people simultaneously using your account. Then you kind of have to bump up to the $9.99 plan, which sucks. That's really, I think, all it's affecting anything here, is if you do have simultaneous access to your account, you now have to pay more. So, unless you really do like buying stuff from Crunchyroll Store, then I'm sure you'll probably utilize that whopping $15 every 3 months to buy something from their store. Interesting, though. Interesting. And our last piece of news. It was announced on the official Twitter account for Magia Record English that they are suspending the game's services on September 29th. So if you are a user on the Magia Record video game for your mobile devices, expect that it is going to be closing here soon. I think it's important to kind of get the word out. I know that, you know, there's hope that most people do access, you know, Magia Record's Twitter account on a regular basis and would have hopefully seen this announcement. I felt it was a little bit disheartening to know that when I opened up the app to confirm it, I did not see really anything pop up on my screen to say, hey, look, this game is ending. And there was still the option to buy the Magia Stones, which is the in-game currency that you can buy with real money. And so it does frustrate me a little bit that that is not very well prominent on the game itself. You literally have to look for the announcement in the news area to see it. So that is frustrating. So I want to hope that everybody out there that is playing the game knows that you're just wasting your money at this point to putting money into it. They did post in the actual announcement that there will be no refunds for any what you pay into it. But I will state, and this is probably something that is not going to be it's going to be frowned upon by Aniplex for me to say, but if you have paid in this game, I think it's anywhere as far as 2 to 3 months, you can go to Apple and get your money refunded. I'm not even going to shy from saying that, even though I know, like I said, it's probably frowned upon for me to say. If they are canceling the service and you have paid into it recently, you can get your money back from Apple. Just call them up and tell them, hey, I paid in this game, and now they're shutting it down. I won't be able to use what I paid for. They will refund you, and I think you should get your money back. Now, for me, I haven't really paid any money into it since 2019. Yeah, I think I paid about $150, $160 total that I've spent on the game. I don't think that I would go and get it refunded just because I think I've gotten about, you know, I view everything for free-to-play games that you can pay into. I view it as how much enjoyment I've gotten out of it, just like any other video game that I pay $60 for. So I'm not looking to go get my money back on it. I doubt they would since it's almost a year out. But for anybody that has done anything for the last few months, I think you should. So that's just my opinion. But weigh your options. Don't listen to them when they say you can't get refunded. You can, if Apple lets you, they will charge back it. So do that if you wish. But yeah, that does suck though, because I know that they're just now starting up their ramping into their second story for it, because they just concluded the first story for it, which I believe they're going to be adapting into an anime here soon. I'm really happy this whole announcement didn't come like after the whole Monogatari crossover, because I'm sure I would probably put money into that and then they would announce that they're closing it. So I'm kind of happy that they are announcing this now rather than after the Monogatari, I think they called it, crossover thing. But I don't know. I was already contemplating uninstalling the game, so it's not a big deal to me. I would have liked to have seen the Monogatari crossover, even though, like I said, I would probably have uninstalled at that point because I probably would have, its rates were really kind of terrible. I think that's probably why a lot of people were kind of turned away from it, but, it just wasn't a game that I always wanted to fire up. It wasn't very interesting. The story is interesting, but that can only go so far. Your thoughts? Did you uninstall it already?
No, actually, it's still in there. I rarely ever click onto it. I think that I clicked on it when the show was going, and because I was kind of curious about the doppelgangers, I almost thought about going into it, but I never actually did. So, it's an easy uninstall as far as my iPad is concerned.
The sad thing is that it brings up two very important questions for mobile gaming, and that is the one, why pay into something that can just be shut down like this? It happens with several different mobile games. And that's one of the biggest issues with, I think, gacha systems in mobile games, is there's never a guarantee that the service is going to be up the next month. I mean, I would be absolutely furious if Fate Grand Order announced that they were shutting down tomorrow. I mean, because I put a lot of money into that game. But that is a legitimate thing that can happen. I don't think with Fate Go that's really a thing that's going to happen anytime soon, unless something happens to Aniplex USA, because they are making so much money off of it. I mean, the people that roll on that are on Twitter or Twitch and YouTube that spend gobs of money just to get, you know, MP5s of every character, those people alone are keeping those that service open. But there is still the thought that it can be shut down eventually, and that is a huge fear that should be. That is be something that you should consider with any game that have a live service. Any live service game, not just mobile games. That's any game that is online, that is on a console or on a PC as well. There is a point which they can say, look, this is done. We're shutting it down.
I'm gonna go into the kind of weird realm for a few minutes. So bear with me. Isn't that literally the case for what do they call them? The fake servers, like we did with the Ultima Online for the longest time, where you basically set up a private server of Magia Record, and so the people just go and buy or download the client, and then they just connect to your server instead. I mean, at what point? I mean, because I do understand the whole gray area. I get that. At what point can you legally argue that, okay, I have paid into this money. I have paid money into this game. You snatched that out from under me. I didn't have a say in that matter at all. I still own what I put into this game.
Right, and that's that gray area that literally you technically approve of when you sign into the game, because they always have that somewhere in the terms of service.
Oh,
that
yeah, of course.
But that's not it, that there is a lot of lawyers that would say that is not legally bound. Like, even though you did hit accept and went past that screen, you're not legally bound to those things. It is just an agreement that can be technically, you can still have action put against the company, even though it says it in that. The problem is nobody's going to go after Aniplex USA for this. But it does beg the question of, like, why can't they just say, okay, we will allow you to transfer to the Japanese version.
Yeah.
You have to understand that you will not be able to understand what is on the screen, but we will transfer your characters and your progress and all of your gems and everything to the Japanese server if you want to.
And
why not make that an option?
Why not have a, even if it's just a server that's just looping all the events? I mean, I don't understand. I get the maintenance part. I really do. But that's just like Nintendo cutting off, they cut off something recently. Was it the Wii store or something like that? And it was like, why would you do that? I don't get it. I mean, even if you have it on a backup server somewhere where only the people who are hardcore enough to go into that server and still play something on there, why would you cut that stuff off?
Hackers really is all it is.
I guess
it would take a team that still has to monitor it, make sure nothing gets hacked or broken.
That should bugs. All be included in the basic maintenance. I mean, yeah, put it on an updated server. Just put it behind 1.5 million firewalls. There's going
to
be a
just
hack.
Just put a bunch of firewalls. No hacking can happen. Just put a bunch of firewalls. Nothing can happen to it.
Well, my point is that I get the argument. My frustration is.
But yeah. Keep allowing them to have. Why not make it to where, boom, there's a patch and it makes it offline? That way you can still access your characters, still run events.
Move off the store. Yeah.
Still look at your characters, activate their animations. But yeah, then there's the argument of, but you still have to allow downloads if you access the summoning art and it's not in your offline code. It would try to access it, then it would error. nobody wins in the end. It is literally what it comes down to, and it sucks. But I don't know. I think the best thing would that, and the easiest thing they can technically do is say, if you want to. I guess it's not really technically easy, but it is an option. If you want to, you can throw your stuff on the Japanese server and play from there. It's going to take, load times are going to be longer, but at least you still have everything you paid money into. Because I'm certain there's probably somebody out there that has paid more into it than I have paid into Fate Grand Order. And that's what really sucks is for those people.
I'm really glad that I didn't go as hardcore as I was expecting I would on this. I really do love the artwork of Magia, so it was very tempting, but I did not fall for it. Luckily.
Lucky. I think the only ones that I really pushed hard on was Sayaka, the Jeanne d'Arc, and Ultimate Madoka I played a little bit into. So
I do find it ironic that I ended up going into Crossing Void as hard as I did, because I didn't think I was going to be even interested in it.
And what sucks is, like, Crossing Void is the one I can see. Like, I thought Crossing Void would go down before Madoka Magica, but I know Madoka Magica is just, it's a very niche thing. And I think I mentioned that before, was like, I don't really have much desire to really roll on any characters because I don't really know them well. These are characters from mangas. These are characters from novels that I've never even heard of before. And I think that was the huge issue with this being successful is, yeah, they technically launched an anime for it, which was great, and I think that did help boost a little bit. But for the most part, there's a lot of characters in that game that just nobody knows about. And without that really kind of idea of who these characters are, there's really no need to really kind of roll on anything. With something like Fate Grand Order, there's so many characters in it that we know from, you know, Fate Apocrypha and Zero and all these different series that they've been actually releasing over in the West.
Well, it doesn't hurt that it's been overhyped for the last 15 years. So,
well, so was Madoka Magica. It's the greatest magical girl anime of recent history.
Yeah, but not Magia Record. I was hearing about Fate Go long before
it's
Fate
under the
Go
franchise of Magia, Madoka Magica. Why wouldn't it be anything to do with it?
Right, but I did not hear about the game Magia Record until they announced, hey, we're releasing this here.
Well, that's
because
you're not
in
tune with anything.
I did hear about Fate Go for years and years, long before Fate Go became a thing in America, is my point.
Well, Magia Record's only been out for like 2 years. Right. And yes, for Madoka fans, there was a lot of hype around Magia Record before it even came here. I was chomping at the bit for it, so.
I was too. But not in the same way that I was hearing people talking about Fate Go.
Yeah, I don't think anything beat Fate Grand Order, though. That's like comparing, you know, apples and orchards.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, sucks. But like I said, I think the easiest, the one thing I wanted to really mention is that don't listen to them. If you paid into it recently, you can request refunds from Apple. And I think you should. But that's your choice. That's your money. That's your choice. If you feel like you've gotten the, like I said, the same for me. If you feel that you've gotten your money out of it, I don't really think it's necessary. But if you're like a high roller and you've wasted a lot of money, there's no reason why that money should stay there. They're canceling the service. They're revoking what you've paid into. They should refund it. So that's just my opinion. Sorry, Aniplex, if that makes you mad. I still buy thousands of dollars worth of your stuff, so don't get angry at me. Yeah, we have some time for some community questions. Again, if you go to otakuspear.com and go to our forum at the top there and go to our AnimeCast question thread, there's also a contact us button at the top of otakuspear.com. There's also our email address, our Twitter, tons of ways to get a hold of us to give us your questions, like these fine people did, including Mustang22, which said, just a note, I just started listening to the podcast a week or so ago, but I listened to the Meet the Host episode. So I don't know if you've touched on this before. On your VTuber takeover episode, Andrew and Chris can't remember which one of you said it. At least you didn't say, I tell you to part. That was a thing at some point where people kept saying, I'm not sure, I can't recognize which one of which. So apparently we're a little bit different now.
Sometimes I wonder about when people say, Chris said this, and I'm like, I don't think I said that. Are you sure that Andrew didn't say that? But then at the same time, it'd be like, Dang it, guys. Why can't you get our voices straight yet? No, I am the one who has the tattoos, and they are wolves.
Really didn't get to that part yet, but you're answering it already. Okay, good. Yeah, Mustang says, one of you mentioned that you had some tattoos. What are they? And are any of them anime related?
No, they are not anime related. They are wolves. One is a wolf with a blood moon, and the other one is a wolf in a forest with a purplish moon.
They're based off of the Amazon meme of the two wolves, one moon thing.
That's three wolves, one moon.
No, that was another one. That was a sequel one that they did.
Oh, is it?
I think the original one was two wolves, one moon.
And yes, I love that.
So.
It changed my life.
I used to not go outside until it was like a two wolves, one moon t-shirt. And then my confidence was boosted substantially.
I now have three women. Yeah,
I got a Mustang, a new job. Thanks, Mustang, for the question. Seth Amaha says, I guess I should give actual questions for once. First one, what is an obscure title that you love that you wish was more popular? Shogun Roku Raku Shinju. Punchline is also... Let me try to... you say obscure.
Mayu. Mayu. I don't know. I kind of wish Record of Lotus War was kind of more known. Or Harengu. Kind of wish that was more.
Yeah, I would known. Probably say Harengu is probably the most obscure thing that we talk about on a regular basis. I'm trying to think of something. I was making a podcast for Anime Off the Beaten Path. Maybe something in there that is... I made a rough list. These are technically not all shows that are off the beaten path, but...
Katana got Atari.
But see, the problem is a lot of these... A lot of these
obscure...
A lot of these shows, the main reason why they're so obscure is because they're not on your big two or three streaming services.
Onihei was probably one of the most obscure ones that we really liked.
That's true.
That one's probably the most obscure one that I can think of right now. But yeah, like we always chime, and they're not necessarily super obscure, but we always chime about Punchline, Shogun Roku, Marie the Virgin Witch, which is really me only kind of pointing them out because they were titles that I don't think got enough attention. They should have gotten more attention. Merkstoria was another one that's probably... Merkstoria is another one that is extremely obscure that... Not to say that's the most greatest show ever, but I kind of wish it got more attention than it did.
Could make the argument for Crossange.
That's probably the two most obscure ones is Merkstoria.
The Monkey Baronki. I could say that one. I wish more people.
Yeah, that one's that. Yeah, but that one's like more. I wish more people gave it a chance.
Yeah,
because it is CGI, and granted, I didn't really like the later episodes of it, but it was still. Decent show.
Could make an argument for
it's definitely an art style of CGI that I want done more often, for sure.
Going down this path, yeah, I could make the argument for Arpeggio and the Blue Steel. I think that one was, because of its art style, it got kind of turned off real quickly. But then at the same time, that goes into the rotoscope one, Flowers of Evil. It was a great story, just kind of got ruined by its art style.
And not finished.
And the fact that it wasn't finished, yeah.
Not finished. Prince of Stride, again, is one of those ones where I don't think is a fantastic high star show. But that one had such velocity and great music. It's probably one of my favorite sports shows. Just for how well they did the velocity and the music and style of the actual running that they did. It's an anime about free running. So for those who don't know, Kyle the Right Answer, I think, got plenty of attention, but I think some people didn't really like the ending to it. But yeah, that's a podcast for another time to go into more of this stuff that, like I said, not really obscure is a very... defining way of putting it, and that's where it kind of pushes me more towards the things like Merkstoria and Onihei and those kinds. Yeah, good question though. Seth Amaha also says, any excuse for talking about Bakugan Monogatari is always good, because Nisi Ossian writing, well, you just brought up Katana Gatari, so there you go. Because Nisi Ossian's writing with that series is almost 90% dialogue. I'm in the camp that beloved the Shaft is the only studio that could ever adapt the series in a satisfying manner. What are your thoughts on that, and how would it look if any other studio attempted to adapt it? Would you want any other studio to do it? Quick answer, no. But it let me put it this way, it's not necessarily to say that no other studio could do an adaptation of the Monogatari series, but in its current form for how it was done, no other studio would do it that way. There's two things I give Shaft for the Monogatari series. One, actually doing pretty much the entire series adapted. And I don't know if that is more of a collaboration between the production and Shaft that pulled that off, or is it the passion of Shaft that they were able to do it all? But there's very few. I don't know what is all involved in the funding for the actual series, if Shaft helped with it, or if it was fully on the fact that the production said, we're doing this entire series, because there's very few series that get a full adaptation like that did, and that is incredible that it did. Yeah, the styling and the wording, the visual cues of dialogue and wordplay that is his work, Shaft did an excellent job of it, and it's very hard to see any of the studio doing it that way. But again, that is not to say that Ufotable can't do that. It's nothing to say that Kyoto Animation could do that. I think going to see a huge difference in how they style the characters and the animation itself. I have never been a huge fan of when Shaft makes things move. I've never been a fan of it. I've never been a fan of their overuse of CGI. I've never been a fan of the overusing of the same art style for cars and traffic and all that stuff. I've never been a huge fan of that stuff. And I can see some other studios doing that stuff better. But the wordplay and everything like that, I think they did an excellent job, and I don't see any other studio pulling it off as well as they did.
I agree. So it's really hard to even kind of, because I sit here and I'm my main two that if I really wanted to see somebody do it, I would almost likely say Trigger, mostly because I think that their hyperness to the different things that they do would kind of feed into the Monogatari series really well. However, they do have a downside. They don't play on the artsy side as much. Now, on the flip side, like Andrew mentioned KyoAni, that had also crossed my mind as well. The warmth that KyoAni could bring to that series would be really fascinating to see. However, I don't know that the Monogatari series lends well to a warmth. It does have, and this might be a Shaft thing, but it almost has a cold, sterilized feel to the way it is.
Yeah, very empty environments and stuff that I'm not sure if it isn't portrayed in the novels, or if that's something that they concocted themselves. Because I know that there's a recently, was it Vofam, the artist for the Monogatari series novels, recently posted on Twitter images of what they were expecting to do with different characters that never ended up on the covers of the volumes. So they had already, he'd already, I don't know if it's he or she, I think it's a he, he'd already drawn what all these characters were going to look like, or what he thinks the characters look like, that have never been in a page or on a cover. And I thought that was really fascinating. So it does lend itself to wonder just how much of this world is not necessarily painted by the words that Nisi Ossian put into the novel itself. Because, like, if you think about it, when an adaptation happens and the dialogue's talking about him, you know, Araragi talking to Senju Gahara, it never really, unless it goes out of its way to say there was three people sitting next to them as they spoke, or if it even says that the room was empty and they were speaking to each other alone, it does feel like often in that series, they're in a lifeless world. And again, I don't know if that's specifically said in his writing or if it's something that Shaft chose to do. But that was something that I never really ever liked, personally.
Well, in the one that I listened to, it didn't seem like there. It was so overly focused on the two characters. Mm-hmm. You didn't really feel like there was anybody else in the area. So
yeah, that's what I got out of the Keys of Monogatari that I've listened to. I've only listened to the Keys of Monogatari novel series. I've never read the other ones.
That's the one that I listened to. So.
And yeah, I guess technically with that one, it never really goes out of its way to say that it was desolate or there's nobody here.
Right.
Unless, you know, like with the first meeting with Heart on the Blade, it's at night and he's walking alone in the dark. It's technically, I guess there's not going to be anybody there. But for something like, say, you know, him talking to, again, Sijikahara or something like that on a street side after school, you'd think there'd be people there, but all Shaft portrays is a million cars that look exactly the same going down the freeway in the same direction at the same speed. And like I said, not a huge fan of that. That's like, if I can give anything critically against the Monogatari series adaptation, is that barren feeling of all environments, which is fine in a sense, because all you really care about is the focus of the characters themselves and what they're going through. But it doesn't really make much sense. And I think somebody like Kyoani, who is a company that, besides its Moe characters that everybody knows them by, the other thing that some people might overlook is their attention to detail.
Yeah.
And that is something that Kyoani technically would have to fabricate, because it would be creating detail where detail is not necessarily in the novels themselves. And I think that they could do something really cool with that and make the world more vibrant, which is something that Shaft didn't, which some would argue is adding more to something that is not existent. But that's what animators do all the time, because again, there's really no novels out there that is going to explicitly detail every corner of the room, every time they walk into any room, what's on every desk, how many pages are in every book on every desk. Animators have to create that. And the best of them do that phenomenally. And I think Kyoto Animation is one of those that do that. Because, like, think of, you know, Violet Evergarden. It's based off a book, and there's incredible detail to every world and every story that adaptation did. And I'm certain, not positive, because I didn't actually read it, pretty certain that all that detail was not expressly detailed in the novel. It's the novel is probably telling the story of what was happening. So
now, neutral fair, White Fox.
I don't know.
They're not going to go out of their way. They're just going to do a fair, balanced portrayal of the story. I think that they would do fine as far
as Brains Base would probably do a good job too. Ufotable, I think, would do an incredible job, but they're not really
well. The only
far
reason,
as far as I know, for Ufotable is they are incredible at visual spectacle and storytelling, but they're not really they're not really artistic, and they're not. I don't know that I would trust them enough to do a very good job of. Again, Shaft did do a phenomenal job at portraying the visual dialogue and wordplay. And that's not necessarily to say that no other company would know how to do that, but I do agree that with their art style with Shaft, they were able to do that in a way that didn't conflict with things. And so if you have somebody that does high quality visual effects and blending with CGI environments and stuff, that might conflict more. So yeah, I could probably see a Ufotable not being a good option for it, but that's discrediting the company from being able to do things outside of, it's not to say that Ufotable doesn't know how to do anything besides visual spectacle. They could do things artistic if they are asked to. Shaft was asked to do this. Any other company would probably be asked to do it as well. So it is technically giving Shaft too much credit to say that this was all they're doing, when it could have been a maybe the director and everybody at Shaft would have just done it over at Ufotable and done the same job, just with a different staff.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, it's not a story that lends well. That's why I was saying with Trigger is, I don't know that it would fit well. It would be interesting to see what they would add with their, because they're just the way they come off is they're just so hyper. They want to add movement where movement is not necessarily needed. And so it becomes over exaggerated. And it would be interesting to see what they would do, just like Kyoani. Kyoani is more warmth. It would be interesting to see what they would add to it. Both of them are not really fitting well. Just like Andrew was saying with Ufotable. I don't bring up Ufotable mostly because of, like he's saying, it's the visual spectacle. It's not really a story that's about physical or visual spectacle.
Except for the Kizumatari fight.
But maybe that would be interesting to see it added into their, I don't know. Each artist adds their own thing. So it's interesting to see what an artist would bring to it, the table.
But the basic question of, if I had a choice to rewind time and have a different studio do it, I wouldn't. Shaft did it, and Shaft did it incredibly well. I wouldn't want to risk any other studio having done it. So it works for me. Same.
Yeah.
Dogokubo.
No, don't Moe.
Yeah, that would be cute.
Don't Moe.
Yeah, all the cute girls as cute Dogokubo characters.
I would love to, but I don't want to see them in the crap that story puts them through.
This is jokingly saying this because Dogokubo does more than just cute Moe characters. They do other stories as well that are actually grown up. I mean, we had that sing yesterday to me recently. They do other stuff. It's a joke. Thanks, Seth Amaha, for the great question, though. I'm sure that was a... I don't know. Can we fit this last one in here?
Yeah, I can do one more.
Let's try. Quest Ram says, hey, Andrew and Chris, thanks, as always, for continuing to put your content out there. One thing I've noticed in my experience as an anime fan is the popularity of the shonen genre among Western viewers. Regardless of the demographic they fall into, just about every coworker or acquaintance that I've met that is interested in anime seems to gravitate towards the shonen genre more than any other. On the off chance that there is a trend you've also noticed, what is it about the shonen genre that makes it so appealing to Western audiences?
Gateway. I don't know how many times it is the ultimate underdog stories. And the thing about the Western audience is, if there's ever a thing that you will notice about shows in general that we are drawn to, it's usually underdog stories. And I admit, I am fully a underdog story guy. I love it. That's why I love Harry Potter. That's why I love go down the list. I love underdog stories. It's a thing that I think it's something that's in our DNA because of who we are. We are the type of people who likes to get the job done. And the more and more pressure that's put against us, the more and more we want to go against it. We don't like being told no. And that's something that a lot of people strive for. And the shonen tropes that kind of dig into you are kind of the things that somebody's telling Naruto, no, you can't be with the rest of the group because you are the evil thing that everybody hates. And he says, no, I'm going to become the Hokage. That is who I am meant to be. And that just speaks to you. There's like Bleach. Bleach is about Ichigo, who has a friend. That friend gets taken away and is going to have something bad happen to her. He says, no, that is not going to happen. And he goes and he fights. That is what pretty much every shonen in some way, shape, or form is going to do.
Except for Dragon Ball.
It's
just a guy that really likes to fight.
It's just a guy that likes to fight.
I don't think there's really a case of any point in Dragon Ball where Goku is not technically the most powerful. I mean, it gives you a hint every now and then that's like, okay, he's kind of getting his butt kicked, and there might be training montages here and there, but it's usually because he just wants to get stronger. He's always wanting to get stronger, and next time, and it's because he's somewhere else that you have any idea of an underdog story, because then it's suddenly, I don't know, where Krillin has to fight somebody he shouldn't be fighting.
And then suddenly, out of nowhere,
at the last minute, Goku finally shows up. He finally gets resurrected. He finally finishes the plumbing he needs to do in the Kami's planet somewhere. And he shows up and beats everything up.
So, yeah, Dragon Ball is not an underdog story. It's the worst example of a shonen.
I guess I technically agree with you that that is definitely an appeal of shonens, but I guess the question that I really kind of pose myself is, well, where does it start at? And I think it's really mainly because shonens they run for so long that it's very hard for people not to run into them. And it is also a gateway. A lot of people that gateway into anime is because at some point they ran into a shonen, whether it's something that was showing on television at some point. Again, that is very easy to run into because it was running for so long. Dragon Ball Z ran for a long time, and so a lot of people in that entire span of generations of kids and young adults ran into it on a television show and then started watching it, and then they watched the entire thing. And I think that's the same thing now with streaming stuff, is that eventually somebody's going to jump onto a streaming service, run into Black Clover, they're going to run into Fairy Tail, they're going to run into One Piece, and they'll jump into that water, and then suddenly the stream keeps going, and they keep going with that stream. So it is something that, since it runs for so long, somebody has to have at least watched one of them to at least get that into their blood, and then they keep watching it because it's a long time development, unlike all these other shows that if you ask somebody if they watched a particular show that ran for one core in 1 year span, somewhere in some vast span of time frame, it's a lot more difficult. You can't expect everybody to have watched Mercstoria that ran in this year and this 3 month span versus somebody that watched, you know, Dragon Ball Super and Dragon Ball Z that has been running for, you know, 15 some years. It's just that there's a huger span of it running, and it's something that people get involved with and they want to keep with it for such a long time because there's so much story and so much character development that's happening, so it lends itself to that.
There's a lot, I mean we did an entire podcast on it, didn't we? Or have we been talking about doing a podcast on it?
I think on Epics,
Shonen Epics. There's so many tidbits to it. I mean, I think that at one point we were talking about the idea of when you have multiple factions, it adds different level, a different level that you go digging into it, and it causes this kind of lore factor where you start digging into different things. I remember one time when I was on a Bleach forum and we got into this debate on whether or not if Kenpachi actually broke through a certain level, whether or not he would be stronger than Ichigo was at the time that they had fought each other. And it was an interesting discussion on just the concept of what that particular level, how much of an increase in the power level that person would have had. Power levels is something that just by itself is another thing that just kind of drags people in. I remember people doing massive breakdowns of power levels between Goku and how much the power level at Super Saiyan 5 would have been and all that craziness. And people get just love this stuff. And then when they start digging into it, that there's no stopping it. It's the same with like every other fandom. It's just another version of that.
Yeah. The questions from Quest Ram was, is it because popular shonen titles are the first that they ever likely encountered? I would say that is probably a true statement. I think, well, not that all of them are. It's just I would say that a majority of them are probably first encounters. Like I said, a lot of people would probably get introduced to it through something like a Toonami or or some other kind of television showing or something like that. Are shonen anime more relatable to those familiar with the Western narratives and stories? I don't think so. Because, I mean, the shonen series are technically the most odd of any storytelling that Japan does. I mean, I can see, I would say that they probably are the least cultural shocking. Because, I mean, taking something like Naruto, which is about ninjas, is a lot more, I guess, less of a barrier of entry than, say, somebody watching a show about a girl who takes care, that becomes a maid to take care of a cute girl, or a girl that is obsessed with his with her little daughter, her little sister, and her little sister's friend, and wants to dress them up in cosplay outfits, or a blendess about a cafe that is a theme maid cafe. I mean, those things are a lot more obscure to run into. Now I'm probably giving the most
I'm not quite sure that going on a pirate ship to go find the One Piece is the thing, but apparently it's okay. So
it's about pirates, and Western people like pirates.
So yeah, why not? One Piece swimsuits? Why would anybody want a One Piece swimsuit?
It's the name of the treasure, not One Piece. It might be in the end.
Who knows? I don't think they've ever gotten to it.
I think the story would end at that point, because they would have gotten the goal. I assume. And that's the goal.
We have been wrong on that before, because there has been some that have gotten to the goal, and then there's another goal. So,
yeah, I'm not giving enough credit, because, yeah, technically things like Shogunroku, Death Parade, stuff like that, it's going to be less cultural shocking as well, but I think most of them are technically telling stories that aren't really technically like ingrained in Japanese culture and humor that can be easily digestible for a Western audience. Especially since a lot of Western companies back in the day used to change things out, like rice balls to donuts, just so that us Westerners would not panic at the sight of a rice ball being eaten by somebody and not understand what it is. Are shonen anime more relatable? We did that one. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts. So there you go. Thanks for the question, Questram. That's it. That's it for this discussional podcast episode. We'll get to the other questions in due time. We appreciate you guys still continuing to send us questions. We really do appreciate it. Keep sending them. But yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this discussional podcast episode. And as usual, let us know what you think about these topics. Let us know what you think about Magia Record ending and paying into services that conclude. Let us know if you're interested in jumping in and buying, and supporting the Kleckner and buying Interspecies Reviewers, or if you plan on just pirating it. Hope you guys enjoyed. Again, we're at talkingspirit.com. That's where you can go for all of our anime, new and old, great community, the forum, links, stop, social media links on the right side, all good stuff. And again, next week should be our previews for the fall 2020 season, so definitely look forward to that. And get your notepads and everything ready to write down tons of shows that you weren't even planning on watching because you didn't know they were coming. Because I'm gonna tell you everything about them and why you should be watching them. So, yeah, hope you all enjoyed, and y'all take care.
Oh.